This hour, we've been exploring the evolution of historical events. We started out talking about Ethel and Julius Rosenberg and how attitudes toward their execution and their conviction has changed as more information has been found and examined. And you know, we just heard our conversation with Professor Novick at the University of Chicago about the history of revisionist history. Now we want to turn to a film director who uses a recent controversial story to show how truth is altered by one's perspective. Joining us now from Atlanta, Georgia, is Andrew Jarecki. He's the director of the new documentary Capturing the Freedmans, and thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This is your first film, Capturing the Freedmans. It has also captured the critics, I have to say. What made you decide to pick this subject for your first documentary? It seems an odd choice.
Yeah, well, as is sometimes the case with a documentary, you know, I started out making a completely different film. In my case, I started out making a documentary about professional children's birthday party clowns in New York City. And of course, you know, as sometimes happens, it just changed dramatically when I found out that one of my main characters, a guy called David Friedman, had a secret story.
And what was that?
Well, it sort of begins when his family is sort of a very normal family, or seemingly so, in Great Neck, Long Island, this affluent suburb outside of Manhattan. And their family is gathered together, the three boys and two parents, around the table when they're preparing for Thanksgiving dinner. And suddenly, in an instant, a police battering ram smashes through their front door. The house fills with police officers who start boxing up their possessions and eventually arrest the father and his youngest son and end up sort of parading them out through the front yard through a maze of news cameras and just changes their lives overnight.
The allegations were?
Well, among other things, that they... the father and son had engaged in a sort of almost satanic kind of attacks on children who were attending computer classes in their home. You know, this case had certain elements of it that were similar to some of the famous cases like that, except in this case you had a father and his 18-year-old son who were involved, and the community hysteria was really at a fever pitch, so it was fascinating to look at this case.
We're speaking with Andrew Jarecki, who's the director of the new documentary, Capturing the Freedmans, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And David Friedman began filming this family as the trial began ripping them apart. After spending some time in jail, David's father, Arnold, was released on house arrest to prepare for the upcoming trial. And here David speaks with his father about his distrust of his mother.
Mommy believes you did it, and she believes you should go to jail, and she believes that she deserves everything that's left, and you shouldn't have any part of it. You have to hire another lawyer? All this woman does is hire lawyers. I honestly have to tell you, anything that she decides, I can't trust. She Arnie, they don't trust me. Well, we don't trust her. We lived with her for 2 months while you were in jail, and we learned not to trust her.
That is amazing tape, Andrew Jarecki. But why is it that one of the sons, David, did so much of the filming?
Well, you know, it's interesting. This is one of those cases where in the revisionist history of the police, I think you see that the family is described as just so unhinged and so disconnected from reality that they were just filming everything willy-nilly without any regard for the seriousness of the crimes that they were being accused of. I think in reality, David says, well, I started filming my family because I knew that my father was going to jail in 6 weeks, and I was afraid that I would never have a record of him for my children and my grandchildren. So we began filming him as a sort of a way to communicate who he was. And then when everything went crazy and the police started coming after my brother and life changed for us, I just continued to keep the camera running because I had to have a record of that as well.
Did you have your mind made up at any point about the Friedmans?
You know, the strange thing about making this film is that the revising of history was happening before my eyes. You know, I would talk to the police detective who would say that, you know, say something incredibly negative about the family. Say, for example, that when she walked into the house, there were foot-high stacks of child pornography in plain view literally all around the house. So that was a statement from her. And she seems quite rational when you first meet her. And then 30 seconds later, you know, we show photographs that were taken during that very search, which show nothing of the kind. And so here you have somebody who is telling you a story with passion and articulating it brilliantly, and she seems cautious, and yet a few minutes later she totally impeaches herself. That's something that I ran into at every turn in the story, and it really led me to believe that people's memories evolve. I don't think these people are all necessarily lying. I think they're, in their minds, quite sure that what they're telling me is accurate.
One of the things that the critics have most admired about this documentary is exactly that sense of lack of sureness at the end, something that seemed so horrific. At the end, it's disturbing, but you're not quite sure what it is.
I think that's, you know, I think that's right. And one of the things that was something I fixated on when I was making the film is that everyone in this story seems more than willing to tell me about things that that occurred while they weren't present. And that in particular is disturbing. People seemed to have no compunction about giving me great detail on scenes and things that people had said to each other when they were not present. And I wanted to take myself out of that pattern and say that, you know, look, I wasn't there. I'm not a primary source. And I've seen too many films, documentaries included, in which the filmmaker wants to tell you what happened, wants to spoon-feed you a conclusion. I think the audience is very, very bright, and people are more intuitive than you could imagine. And when you give them the evidence, particularly in a case like this where there was no trial, the audience really appreciates being able to make their own decisions.
Now, you said you started out to make a documentary about professional birthday party clowns in New York City and ended up making this very complex film. At what point did you realize, you know, there must have been a point where saying, you know, this is completely getting out of control here?
Well, you know, there's certainly a moment when you realize that the film has now totally morphed. I mean, there's a period of time when you say, well, maybe this epic story of this family can be the backstory for one of the three birthday party clowns in my film. But before you know it, the story starts to eat the rest of the film. And so I felt it was my job to get out of the way of the story and just to tell it and use my tools as best I could to tell the story in as rich and complex a way as it was coming to me. So there was definitely that moment, but the moment took place over about 3 years.
Well, at some point, obviously, you had to reapproach those who were financing this movie and explain that the focus had changed a little bit.
Well, I think, you know, I was lucky because I had made a film before, and when I was at Princeton, I was a director also, and I made a lot of plays, and then I went into business for a while, and when I came out, you know, I had some resources, and I was in a position to fund the beginning of the filming myself. I think if I had gone to a television company or something, or a theatrical company, and said to them, well, you remember that movie that we started out making about clowns
right.
for your 7:30 slot?
This is not going to be a chuckle fest.
Exactly. So I don't know who else. I don't know who would have stuck with me other than me.
Andrew Jarecki, thanks very much for sticking with yourself.
Thank you for having me.
Andrew Jarecki is the director of the new documentary Capturing the Freedmans, and he spoke with us on the phone from Atlanta, Georgia. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.